Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. This is weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. My name is Tim. Welcome to this radio show, my friends. We just heard a song by a brilliant local band called Needles and Pins. That song was called I Don't Mind. This is an opening track from band's debut album entitled 1234, which came out last year on Mammoth Cave Records. The album was included in way too many Best of 2012 lists, including my very own called Best of 2012 Vancouver Edition list. Needles and Pins, great local band, and they have this great attitude, like, fuck it, I don't care, whatever type of attitude. But at the same time, the lineup of the band includes two business owners and PhD person in cultural anthropology. They're my favorite local find of the last year, and I'm extremely excited to welcome to the show a great gentleman, my Twitter friend out of internet world in the real world, guitarist, singer, and writer of some songs. Adam, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Success. Today we were talking about having you on the show for a very long time, and we finally did this. And the great idea behind doing it today, because Needles and Pins, I'm playing a super show tomorrow at the Astoria. Astoria is a venue, music venue, and the lineup is, in my opinion, magnificent. Needles and Pins, The Ballantines, Fist City, plus Wild Zero DJs. The show is presented by Latida Records, an amazing local record label, and the cover is only $10. This is a great show because the Ballantines, in my opinion, they're just one of the best local and the most interesting acts to see live. And if you haven't heard them or seen them before, I highly recommend. Today, I will prove to you that Needles and Pins, the band of the same kind, brilliant, amazing, and a great band to see live. And Fist City, I haven't seen them live yet, but their record is damn very good. Wow, that was the intro. And yes, if you will have any questions for us, the on-air phone is 604-822-2487, 604-822-CITR, and we also both have Twitter accounts. We live in the modern age and we use some parts of technology and digital aspects of exchanging information. So your Twitter is needlesandpins69?
Yeah, needlesxpins69, yeah.
Needlesxpins. So please tweet questions to Adam, and my own is tima_tsar. Tweet at us, say some funny, illogical and crazy stuff, and we will appreciate all that stuff. To start with, I would like to introduce you if you haven't heard Needles and Pins before, but if you have, you will enjoy. And I would like to start with my favorite song by the band called Best Friend, out of their album which came out last year. Their name is 1234 on Mammoth Cave Records, and this is Needles and Pins 1234 album, Best Friend.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. This is weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. My name is Tim and I have Adam here, all the way from the band we just heard, Needles and Pins. Great success. Yes, let me quickly tell you which songs we heard. We heard three tracks from their debut full FM album called 1234. The last song was title track. Before that, we heard the super hit called Drop It. And I opened this block of music by Needles and Pins with my favorite song by the band called Best Friend. Good? Alright, let's talk a little bit about the band. I have a few questions prepared. But to start with, could you please confirm if I have your correct discography and if I have everything correctly? And then I will ask you some questions, which hopefully will be interesting for you to talk about.
Sounds good.
Alright, so your discography. First World Problems cassette. Then Rabbi's Jump 2-song cassette EP, then Drop It 7-inch, then Split 7-inch with Moby Dicks, then Blood Stains Across BC compilation 7-inch on Mammoth Cave Records, then your studio album 1234 LP, and then 7-inch on Latida Getting On Home and Picture My Face, and the tape, which pretty much has everything so far.
Yeah, everything except the first release,
yeah.
I think, is on there.
And two songs in compilations there, Eggnog Experience, the song called Armenian Christmas, and Night Prison compilation with your song Tiny Little Tear LP.
Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah.
Success.
Yeah.
And in this year, you have singles coming out on Kingfisher Blues, Latida, and a song featured in CITR's Pop Alliance Volume 3.
Yeah.
Success! All right, so this band has a lot of releases, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's start with the album, which the debut record, which came out on Mammoth Cave. Mammoth Cave. That's a very complicated thing to say for an immigrant. I know that when the band releases their debut album, they're usually very excited that it's a first record, things like that. But when they grow up musically as a songwriters, they usually go back to the first record and they see their mistakes or like something they would have done differently. Your record ended up being on way too many best of leads and like you lists, and you have a lot of good praise about the album. Do you feel like that was a perfect debut album for you guys?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I was really happy with the way the recording came out and the way the songs all worked together, and I was very happy with it as a first record. I mean, I'm sure we can do better, but for first thing, I think it's a pretty nice representation of our band.
Yeah, and for me, like listening to the I started this record. No, I heard a few songs before, but like properly listening to your band, I started with 1234, and then I kind of went back. I see the progress. And I especially like the sound that I was telling you about, that this mix of, garage pop-punk sound, but a little bit more polished than Dirty Garage. That's what really caught my eye. And I know for this record, you worked with another member of Twin Crystals, Georgian Coop. And before that, you worked with the other guys from Twin Crystals. But you decided to work with him for the record. What do you think would the change? Was it something he brought to change the sound, or was it you guys wanted to try something different? What was it in change of the sound for the record?
I don't know. I think we just sort of, that record, we figured out what we wanted to sound like as a band when we did that record. And before, we were, like the other releases before, we were just sort of trying to figure out what we were doing. We were writing maybe like a bunch of kind of songs that, maybe sort of sounded similar, but weren't necessarily like a cohesive sort of thing. And then I think for that record, those songs sort of, we found a way we wanted to sound like, maybe, or it just all came together in that way. And and Jordan, I think Jordan just really knew how to get that, I guess, or whatever. And the studio is, it's a really nice room, and he just sort of he knew what we wanted out of that, maybe, or something. So that's
And in one of interviews, you said that some people say that the band must sound on the record like their live show. So was it like playing more live shows maybe helped you figuring out your sound, and then you brought it to the studio?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like when bands don't sound like their record live a lot. I think there was a really like live sort of, we tried to like do as best as we could to capture a live thing on that record. We recorded it all sort of live except the vocals and everything. And I sort of changed the way I sing on that record more. Like, I just sort of sing like I do live. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there's a change in the vocal sound, mm-hmm. maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, if you go through individual songs, like one of your biggest songs, Drop It, was originally recorded for the 7-inch, but, this, like, when we listened to this song before, like, and, I think that the studio version, the album version, sounds so much stronger. It has like, I don't know, the feel of like the song is, I don't know, the 7-inch sounds like a demo, and this one sounds like a proper finished version.
And I mean that song in general, like the Jesse Taylor from Twin Crystals, who we recorded that with first, we were sort of, when we recorded it, we weren't feeling it, and weren't really stoked on it. And then, he sort of made us do it sort of one last time, and it worked, and it turned out being sort of my favorite song from those sessions that we did with him. Mm-hmm. I was really happy to be, like, I wanted to redo it on the record. And it changed a bit. I mean, it's sort of a bit different of a sound on the song. Yeah.
There's a video for this song which was shot in Toronto and presented at the Sound Unseen Film Festival in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Could you please tell a little story about this festival? Did you actually went to present it to Minneapolis? What was the story?
Oh, no, that video was made by this friend of ours, Nick, who, like, he's this sort of filmmaker based out of Toronto. And he's originally from Minneapolis, I guess, so that's why he did that there. But we met him on tour this summer when we were playing in London, Ontario. He just happened to be there for some other reason and ended up coming to the show. And we just ended up hanging out with him and partying with him. And then he ended up coming on the road with us for a couple more nights all the way to Toronto, because I think we had a couple more stops before Toronto. And he was just a rad guy. And he offered to do this video for us. And he said he just wanted to make a video and, you know, that if he could use a song. So we said, sure. So we just filmed a skate video with some buddies, I guess, of his in Toronto. And, yeah, that's what happened to him. We really had nothing to do with the production of this thing. You know, he's just a rad guy and wanted to do that. So thanks, Cheech. That was a really nice gesture.
Yeah, yeah. Because the video looks great if you just go on, I think it's on Vimeo, and you can basically Google it. It's a very very interesting colors, and the whole idea is just I like the fact the moment when there's, you can see the vegetables.
Yes, they go to the market or whatever.
Yeah, the best, like the PBR drinking is good because I, you know, I'm also doing that, so I had some feelings, but the vegetables was brilliant. Speaking of videos, is that true that your track Makes Me Wanna was originally titled as a quiet song and has an official video which presents your toes, and only band members have seen this video?
When I thought of that song, it was like 3 a.m. and I was drunk. Like, I got home and I was drunk and I was like lying in bed, and then I just wanted to record it, so I had to get up, and my wife at the time was asleep, so I just had to be really quiet. And so but I ended up putting the camera the wrong way, I guess, so you just get to see my feet while I play this song on acoustic guitar.
No, that's a secret video by Needles and Tools. Yeah, the song, yeah. Makes Me Wanna. You last year released the single Getting On Home, the B-side Picture My Face, which is Teenage Hate cover version. I had Tim from Latida Records in October here in the studio. We were talking about, and I had asked him the question about that. You know, being a small record label focused on releases, I asked how involved he was in the, you know, in deciding which songs are going to the record. And he said that, first of all, it was just like, give me two songs. And now he says that they're extremely involved in the process of picking the songs and helping the bands, you know, to have those brilliant two songs for, so they can release, because they're obviously involved financially and, you know, releasing. What was their involvement in your single on Latida?
I don't, like, they didn't, with those two songs, actually, we recorded for the album. Oh. And they weren't, we scrapped them because weren't particularly happy, in particular Getting On Home, like, we rewrote it a bit. The album version just wasn't doing it, you know? So we scrapped it, rewrote it, and it came out, you know, I think stronger. But and so we had these two songs, and they're obviously stoked on Teenage Head, so they're, and we'd played that Teenage Head cover a lot, like in the year before that. We used to play that live a lot. And so I think that they were sort of stoked on us doing that cover. But they wanted to, one thing that they were sort of adamant about is that we go and record it with Felix Fung at Little Red Sounds. Because everybody except for Fifth City in that first singles collection did it there, so they want a kind of a sound, that he gets out of his place. And so we did it there, and it was the first time we'd ever recorded with him, and it was rad. And we've done another single with him now for Kingfisher, and we're in this Friday and Saturday doing our next La-Di-Da single with him. So
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, let's check out the song, Getting On Home. I have it ready, and then we'll hear a few other songs by Needles and Pins from your earlier releases. Okay, let's do it. This is Needles and Pins, Getting On Home. We'll be right back. Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to the radio station CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And we heard few different songs from each, almost each of the previous releases by Needles and Pins. And I have Adam here in the studio for the interview, conversation, and exchanging of music information. We just heard the last song was Arabia's Jump, which was released on the tape. Before that, we heard a song called Drugs in My Room from their first release, right?
Oh, yeah.
First World Problems. It even has the word forced in the name of the title, so it's a very conceptual release. And before that, the song from the compilation called Night Prison Compilation LP, and that was a song Tiny Little Tear. Before that, and a song from another compilation, Bloodstains Across British Columbia, that was song My Politics. And I opened this block of Needles and Pins performance of the song Getting On Home from their La Di Da single, which came out on last year on Latida, obviously, records. Good job, Russian genius. All right, let's move on to the second part of the interview. Most of the songs I just played are those from previous releases, and they are unavailable on some discontinued releases. That you just can find them on your Bandcamp page, which is
needlesxpins.bandcamp.com.
Good.
Or on the new tape.
Or on the new tape.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, that's true. Sorry. You know, I listened to one of your interviews and you called 1234 a cursed record because it was always, almost constantly and almost always sold out. What's the situation right now with the record?
It was sort of cursed because, like, there's just all these problems with getting it pressed. Like, the pressing plant was super delayed and it was just sort of a nightmare to actually get it in our hands. But
I remember before the Spitz show, that's when I first time saw you tweeted something that, like, you received it.
That was the first time we'd ever had the real record. Like, for the tour that summer that we went on, we had like 50 test presses that we made these like tour covers kind of for or whatever, just to have it. But then, yeah, the real one showed up right before that Spitz show. So that was pretty rad.
Yeah.
But, there was just like all these sort of headaches getting it finally in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have a very busy year coming up. I know that you did a lot of touring before, but this year is crazy. You just posted this Tuesday on your Facebook page, Calgary and Edmonton this April, West Coast US tour in May, and the other coast of Canada in June.
Yeah.
And so that is it. Are you playing festivals or are you just doing the whole touring thing?
Oh, no. Well, we're just doing two dates in Alberta with the Ballantines in April.
Oof, nice.
And then we're doing the West Coast with Steve Adamick Band in May, and that'll be, I guess, 8 days. Perfect. And then we're going to fly out to the East to do Ottawa Explosion, and then hopefully Toronto and Montreal while we're out there, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they have the Montreal Festival, the Pooza Fest. Are you going to be there for?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know when that happens. I just have heard of it. I don't really know.
I think it's in May, so you actually might be around this area. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it might be a good festival to play. In terms of touring in the future plan, you have a few releases coming out. Singles on Kingfisher Blues, Latida, and even CITR's Pop Alliance compilation.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really cool to be on that.
Let's talk a little bit about each of those releases.
Sure.
If you can share the songs or when it will be available and this whole story.
Sure. The Kingfisher Blues one is a single-sided single, part of their club, like a singles club that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the song called Polaroid that it's still got to be mastered, but that's done. I'm not sure when that's going to be out. I think we're like sort of the last one on there, so maybe August. I don't know. It might be a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we're doing two songs for La-Di-Da. We're recording them this weekend. They don't really have titles yet. I got to figure that out, I suppose, before that. But that'll hopefully be out for that tour with Steve.
Uh-huh.
Because our single and his single are coming out as a combination.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
As part of their singles club. Yeah, and the CITR Pop Alliance song is it's the song I Heart Your Drugs off 1234.
Because
mm-hmm. Unfortunately we didn't have anything new or original or whatever to give them. And then 1234 is getting released in Europe in the near future too on Timi Haihumi Records. So hopefully we'll go get over there to support that after it's been out for a little bit.
This is brilliant.
Yeah.
Really brilliant plans. Any plans for the future for the second album?
Yeah, we were talking about that. We're probably going to hopefully go back in the fall to do that. We've got maybe half a dozen songs that we're working on now, and then try to get some more done by that time, and then go back over to with Jordan and do it again, mm-hmm. do the LP.
And besides the show, which will happen tomorrow, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, other local dates where people can go and see you?
We're playing on February 15th at Annie Social with our friend Slow Learners are having their 7-inch release party. Mm-hmm. And then this rad band from Victoria called Open Relationship are playing. So that's going to be really fun. And then we're going to go to Victoria and the same show's happening over there the next night. That's February. I feel like maybe we have something in March, but I don't remember. But that's all I can remember right now. Oh, yeah, March. Sorry, yeah, we're doing this. We're doing a weekend with B.A. Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
In March. So we're doing Vancouver, Abbotsford, I think, and Victoria with B.A. Johnson mid-March.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, but tomorrow the show will be at the Astoria, and I'll talk a little bit more before that. We mentioned CITR Pop Alliance Volume 3, which will be released by Mint Records, and Duncan, who is the host of Duncan Donuts on CITR, probably one of the best hosts we have here on the station. And speaking of CITR, your band name and your band is featured in the song by The Evaporators called I Hate Being Late When I'm Early. This is a song when Nardwar arrives to the station to do his show, and he arrives early, but because he talks to too many people and he gets caught up in conversation, he is late for his own very show, which is happening every Friday 3:30 p.m. to 5. And the line, the second verse, starts with the name of Needles and Pins, and the line goes like that: Needles and Pins in the red, slowly moving further ahead down the hall, open the door, love the vinyl, close the drawer. Could you please tell the story? Do you know how you got in the song? And isn't it pretty cool to have a fan?
It's amazing. No, it's a cool, it's one of the coolest things ever. I guess the story is, I wish Tony was here, he knows it better than I do. I think the story, like, I mean, Nardwar has always been like really like rad to us. I think like our friend Tyler has a show right before him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he came in, and either Tyler had the record with him, or like we'd given Tyler a copy to give to Nardwar. I can't remember the deal, but that's like, so that's when he just sort of had the idea for that lyric. And then like he asked us to come be part of the video and stuff, which was really awesome.
Yeah.
So that's one of the coolest things that's ever happened to me in my life. Absolutely.
Yeah, just Nardwar being a fan of
your band. Yeah. Right. Like that's insane.
That's a very good.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear some more music, but not by Needles and Pins. Tomorrow, you're playing a great show at the Astoria, the Ballantines and Fist City. The show is happening at Astoria. It's like, you know, I talk a lot about upcoming shows, but this is a show I really, really honestly recommend you listeners to attend, because Ballantines are amazing, Needles and Pins very, very good, and Fist City, I'm personally excited because I've never seen them live, but I really
like the
record. And it's a story, it's a local, it's basically the bands which represent, in my opinion, current Vancouver rock and roll scene. And it's hosted by the awesome label called Latida Records. To get in is $10. But if you'd like to give us a call and we're a free pair of tickets, you can do so 604-822-2487, 604-822-2487. Call in. Oops, I'm already calling in. And let's listen to some music by the Ballantines and Fist City, and then we'll get back.
Oh,
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. This is weekly punk rock, rock and roll radio show called Rocket from Russia. My name is Tim, and I have here Adam from Needles and Pins. We're talking about the band, and we just heard two songs by the band. The last band was Fist City. That was a song called Vet Freaks from their brilliant album, and I really like this name of this album. The name of the album is It's 1983, Grow Up! Exclamation point. I think this is one of the best album titles I heard in the last 7.5 months, let's say. I don't know. And before that, we heard the brilliant Ballantines. That was an A-side out of the double A-side 7-inch, like Jared likes to say. They don't write B-sides. They only like A-sides. So that was an A-side called Misery from their 7-inch, which came out last year on Latida Records. Ballantines, good. And both bands plus Needles and Pins will be playing at the Astoria tomorrow night. To get in, it's only $10. Needles and Pins, the Ballantines, Fist City, Wild Zero, DJs, Astoria, 10 p.m., $10. I do highly recommend you to come over. And thanks for all the people who called in and won the tickets to the show and just called in and listens to the show. Thank you so much, guys. This is mega, mega super, and I'm really stoked that people are excited about Needles and Pins and the upcoming shows. Alright, we decided to talk a little bit about music, and I told Adam the story off air that at last year I was at the point that I was listening to the music and it wasn't really exciting me. Not everything, but there were a few releases which I listened and it sounded like something I heard before. And at this point I discovered this whole garage pop punk scene, a huge awesome Ottawa scene, the whole Dirt Nap, and then I discovered you guys. So right now it was so great for me to discover all this new sound, new scene at the point when I was stuck in terms of, not stuck, but I was kind of getting bored of some things I was listening to. What was your music growing up? How did you came into this genre? What's your relation to the music in general?
I guess I started listening to like Black Flag and Dead Kennedys and Misfits and Crass and stuff like that when I was in like around grade 8 or something, I suppose. And then like the first, like, I think band that I really got into that like existed sort of contemporaneously to me was Rancid. And I just was like, I was obsessed with Rancid. Like grade nine, my locker was a shrine to Rancid, basically. And I was, had a like trench coat and plaid pants, and I was all like punk. And that was sort of like, I had this like punk band with some friends that I was doing, and then as the '90s progressed or whatever, I got more into like a kind of hardcore scene that was going on then. Like Ottawa had a really sort of good hardcore scene at that time in the '90s, bands like Union of Uranus and Shopmaker, and so I did that kind of stuff for a bit with friends again, but I was like living out sort of like outside out in the country. I was still like in high school, and then moving into Ottawa when I was sort of going to university there and stuff like that. At that point, I was straight edge, and I was sort of was in like a straight edge hardcore band there, and did some other bands while I lived in Ottawa, and then I didn't do like bands for a really long time, like until I moved to Vancouver, and then Tony, who him and I grew up in the same town together and stuff, we were just sort of living next door to each other and didn't really have anything to do, so we just thought we would maybe try to start a band. So that's how that got going. And I think like when I started that band, it got me back into it got me back into listening to a lot of stuff that I hadn't listened to in a long time, like old punk stuff and whatever that I'd sort of, how things go. You just sort of, I guess, forget about it. I mean, you always have the bands you love and listen to all the time, but there's stuff that you sort of, that falls by the wayside a little bit or something as you sort of listen to different things or whatever. So that got me back into a lot of stuff and like the newer kind of music that was coming out of that like ilk, we'll say, or whatever. It was really good, but I don't know if that answers your question. I don't know, sort of a rambling.
No, this is, I went to see, we were just talking a little bit off air about the Cult Detective Club show.
Yeah.
And when I got to see it, like I saw the people who were there, they were, not teenagers, they were a little bit, like probably solid people in their late 20s, early 30s, and then I saw those people that, you know, the, I don't know, like from the t-shirt they were wearing, from the whole attitude, the people, how were people I saw, that's like, you know, it seems like the story is very similar. So the people start with, you know, the punk, classic punk rock music, and then they progress. And it's interesting how see how people, different people go different directions. A lot of people started with punk rock music, like, you know, this 90s thing, Pennywise, Rancid, NoFX. And some people stayed, some crazy people like me. I still, NoFX is my favorite band.
Yeah.
But, you know, so then you just, you know, you discover new things and see how people go in different directions. You were like from hardcore, you went to play in Needles and Pins, which absolutely two different sounds.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, I mean, I guess I always like sort of loved the, like that music still too, you know what I mean? It's just whatever you feel like doing at the time or whatever. And yeah,
but no. This is brilliant. And
Neil's Pins were gonna do a NoFX cover, man. We were gonna cover Longest Line, but Macy blackballed it. She said NoFX for some reason.
Macy, please, if you're listening to the show, in exchange to visiting with me and my wife, your brilliant place on Kingsway 44, the vegetarian burrito place, please agree to the gentleman to do a NoFX cover, because I will be happy, gentleman, in my body.
Yeah.
No, for real, please, Macy, like, if she's not listening, please
plead with her. Yeah,
please, because if you do a Longest Line cover,
yeah,
I will be very happy.
All right,
gentleman.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Please do.
Yeah.
All right, my friends, thank you so much for tuning in. That was Rocket from Russia punk rock radio show. We talked, as you can hear, to Adam of Needles and Beans, and tomorrow Needles and Beans are playing at the Ballantine's Fist City at the Astoria. I do highly recommend you to attend this musical event. It's only $10, and I promise you, yes, I do promise you that will be a great event, because you need to see all those three bands live, especially if you enjoy the music. Thank you so much for listening. You will be able to find the podcast on my blog, which is Rocket from Russia. rocketfromrussia.tumblr.com. Correct statement. We had some problems with iTunes, and I don't think that a few previous episodes are available on iTunes, because we had some technically problems at the station, but this one will be available through iTunes, and obviously the website citr.ca. Good. And also this stuff will be available hopefully by the end of tonight or tomorrow morning before the show, so people can enjoy this interview, hopefully, and hear about this upcoming great show, which is happening tomorrow, Friday night. Adam, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, man. Thanks. It was awesome.
That was great. Yeah. Great. Finally, Matt, because we've talked on Twitter for way too long.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're officially friends.
Yeah,
Not followers.
Kismet and whatnot. Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, so we'll finish, obviously, with another song by Needles and Pins. And this is the final track of their album. The name of the song is Hail Bop. And check them out. Needles and Pins, 1234, tomorrow playing. Or just Google them and you'll find their Bandcamp page. And you will enjoy great music. Thank you so much for listening. That was Tim and Rocket from Russia. See you next week or tomorrow. Big success. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
Awesome.
Join Jason on a spiritual and musical journey to becoming relentlessly awesome every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. only on CITR. By the way, you're awesome.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Jason from Relentlessly Awesome, followed by Legendary Tim, host of Legendary Rock Show. And I hope you enjoyed that special interview between Tim and Adam of Pins and Needles. This is a sick track that I chose for you to start off the hour. This is Grimes. I hope you enjoy it. CITR 101.9 FM.
nice messages coming on Twitter. Thank you so much. Shout out Sabrina Leochi. Guys,
a solid track indeed. That was Grimes. I hope you enjoyed it. And the track was entitled Skin, with a little bit of help from Fortet. Now this next track is an awesome track, I'd say. It's by Cops, and it features Joywave. I hope you enjoy it. You're listening to Relentlessly Awesome on CITR 101.9 FM.